We are back on In Focus News Radio KMAN, talking here with Jason Smith and Darren Solden from the Manhattan Area Chamber of Commerce. Jason, of course, the president and CEO. Darren is the director of economic development. Also, thanks to Sarah Sider. She had to step away here, but some great conversation. If you missed the first segment, we'll have it up on our website shortly. Great information about Spark MHK, the virtual hub launching here on April 27th. That's a virtual event at 4:30 p.m. More information at sparkmhk.com. Getting back here to our conversation with Jason and Darren about the business conditions report here. What were some challenges and some strengths here that you saw here come out of this report?
Yeah, and you know, some of these I think if you think about it, I think most of us would think, oh, okay, that makes sense. Those are things we would have thought about too. But the top three strengths are, number one was by far was quality of life. I think the businesses appreciated the kind of lifestyle we have in Manhattan and the investments that we make in parks and trails and athletic facilities, those kind of things. And so that by far was number one. Business climate, I think, even though there are some things that people have pointed out as being a bit of a challenge. I think overall, our employers are fairly happy with the state and local business climate here. And then the last one, and I certainly wouldn't say the least, because there were a number, but the work ethic of Manhattan employees. I think generally our businesses are happy with the kind of workers that they're able to get. Now, having said that, as we look at the weaknesses, the number one weakness but clearly is that our employers, and this is not unique to Manhattan, we hear this in other places too, but our employers are indicating that right now there is not an adequate labor supply to operate at full capacity and be able to grow long-term. And so those things shouldn't sound like they're in conflict. I think the general consensus is, well, when we get people, they're great employees. It's just trying to find people, enough people to fill our positions. And the two areas that they point to as being challenges as they try to recruit, retain talent to the community are, I think that the potential targets employees cite a high cost of living, and that primarily centers around housing. And the numbers bear that out, that certainly as it relates to other Kansas cities, that the average cost of whether it's a rental or in a lot of cases purchase is higher in Manhattan than it is in our state peers. As we're competing for talent with places like, you know, the Kansas City Metro, and now as they continue to get more aggressive, Topeka and Wichita and Salina and those kind of places, you know, a 10% difference in housing costs is real money, and so that becomes a challenge. It also is a perception issue. We've dealt with this a little bit as we've talked to individuals, for instance, who are considering relocating from New York to Manhattan to be part of MBAF is, you know, the perception is we're moving into the Midwest, so houses are going to be so much cheaper. And they get here, and while they are less expensive, not to the level that I think maybe is the perception. And so we do have to fight that a little bit. We aren't that much different from other university communities in the Midwest. So as you look at Lincoln, Ames, Columbia, Norman, those kind of places, we're in line in terms of housing costs with those cities. The thing that we're not in line with, and this is a little off topic, but I think it's important to understand, is average wage. And so we've just finished doing a demographic analysis where it's clear that the housing burden challenge in Manhattan is real, and which is the percentage of your income that you use to pay for, whether it's rent or a car or a house payment, is higher here than it is in most places. And so that's one of the things that we are excited about and we're strong supporters of. The first of all, the city's housing study that they're planning to do this summer. We think it's incredibly important to understand that data so that we can make informed and reasonable decisions. But the second one is the funding that was that's going to be set aside and starting in 2023, that was part of the Economic Development Sales Tax Initiative that was passed in November. That's going to create about a $6 million, hopefully greater as our growth kicks in, but $6 million or more fund to address workforce housing. Because that those are funds that we envision that can directly impact these challenges that are being outlined by employers and potential new residents. The other thing that's a challenge that we are going to begin looking at probably for the first time in the chamber, but I think it's been done before in the community, is daycare. And that has been identified by employers as a challenge for their employees is consistent, affordable daycare. And so is there something that we can do as a community, particularly as some of the funding is coming down for recovery and some of the other things that the federal government is looking at? Is there something we can do as we help come out of COVID to increase the opportunities for daycare in the community?
Yeah, it's interesting. You mentioned the wages not being adequate enough here. And I'm curious, maybe Darren has an answer to this, or Jason, you might, I don't know. But how do you bridge that gap here of bringing in better paying wages? Is it just a way of marketing to certain employers, or how's that work?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's everything we talk about, right? I mean, I think it starts with growth in private sector employment. I think we have to continue to focus our efforts, and that's the whole focus around Region Reimagine, and that starts with growth of existing employers. But as we talked about in the first segment, one of the ways you can impact this the greatest is increase the entrepreneurial efforts in the community, and those tend to be the higher end employers because, and again, we're talking on a broad scale, but because they are invested in this community and they are reinvesting their funds into the community. And so locally owned businesses is a key for that. I think the other thing is leveraging our strengths at K-State better. Generally you get university communities where wages will be below our counterparts because employers tend to want to come in and take advantage of either college age workers or recent graduates. And so you're going to see, we're never going to be at a level of say, a Kansas City Metro, for instance, because those aren't the kind of employers we're going to get, but we can do better if we can encourage entrepreneurship, if we can leverage innovation and research better, and if we can grow our existing industry and businesses better. But it takes investment and it takes hard work. And I think right now we are putting in the work. We're going to come forward soon with some suggestions on ways to increase our capacity in terms of business parks, increase our capacity in terms of available facilities, increase our capacity in terms of angel funding for startups. So what are some things that we can do to encourage more? And we think that will start to impact that number tremendously.
All right, very good. Again, we're talking with the Manhattan Area Chamber of Commerce, Jason Smith, Darren Solden here, our guests on In Focus. We'll step aside, take a final break, and more of In Focus after this on K-Man.